Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. You all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Yes, I feel...
Look at my watch. What day is this?
I feel your sentiment. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Does it really matter what day it is anymore, Steve? I mean, every day just seems like Groundhog's Day to me. More bad news. A little good news here and there, then bad news, bad news, bad news.
It's fair. Now, there's a lot going on. I had to look at my watch because I'm losing track. It could be Friday for all I know.
So. Yeah, that's
but here we are. It's a Tuesday. We're live just after 6 o'clock on the East Coast, 3 o'clock on the West Coast. And yeah, YouTube, Facebook, if you're watching this now, feel free to jump in the comment section.
Yeah.
Get vocal.
Get vocal. That's what I mean. We designed the show so we could all sit down and talk a little bit. And now you're here. So don't be shy.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, yeah, good stuff. You can find our website, thevocalminority.net, if you want to contact us directly. We've got social medias, and then we are all over Really American. So you found us.
When are you going to just – you should post your cell phone number on there so people can just contact you directly, dude. Have you ever thought about it?
No, but, you know, I don't know if I should point this out or not. If my name was not Steve Harness, I don't think that's the name I would make up.
Oh, really? I thought you loved your name, dude.
No, I'm saying I do, which is why I use it. My point is, I'm not anonymous.
Oh.
Like, if people want to find me, I'm pretty sure they can find me. Like, you know, otherwise I'd be Steve Stevenson or some, you know, radio name that hid my true identity.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if people want to dox me with pizzas, it's fine. I'll eat them. I'm not taking that as a threat.
That's
so send all the pizzas you want. I'm assuming you paid for it already or they wouldn't deliver it, right? Isn't that how it works?
No, dude. We were. You even remember how many times we were sent food at radio stations we worked at and stuff, and we never touched that shit because you don't know what it has in it, dude. Do you trust all the people that are viewing that much?
You're talking about we used to have radio listeners stop by with homemade food. Like a woman dropped off a crock pot for us once. No, I'm not touching that. If you order Domino's, if you order it online, you got to pay for it. So if you're sending me a pizza that's already paid for coming from a local pizza place, then I'll probably eat it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that makes more sense if it's coming straight from the pizza delivery guy.
Right. I know it's supposed to scare me that you found me, but I'll eat the food. Trust me. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're not here to discuss our culinary delights and offerings. We are here to jump right into our political midweek in review is, I guess, what we're calling this, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well,
where to start? I feel like we need to start with this shutdown betrayal.
Yeah, is that what we're calling it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a few different perspectives on this. But, yeah, all in all, it was a fucking betrayal. I mean, we were holding the line. We were holding out for a greater good, something that we thought would help everyone. And a couple of Democrats went behind our backs and, you know, sabotaged us. Although a prominent podcast today has a theory that Chuck Schumer was thoroughly involved in it and orchestrated the whole thing.
What, in the cave-in?
Yes. That really? He went to those people and were like, I can't get out of this, so you got to do it. So I don't know. I don't know what the truth is, but yeah, we were holding the line and the line fell apart. And it's all from a bunch of people that are not popular Democrats. On the older side, none of them up for reelection anytime soon. And I'm ashamed to say the state I am in, if you want to send me pizzas, two of my senators that I voted for, they betrayed it all. So.
Yeah, I'm you know, like when you're walking through a haunted house and then like a ghost jumps out from behind a wall and you like, oh, that's why I'm here. I'm looking for something, dude, for at some point. I mean, I guess the government acts to actually reopen, but I'm looking for the Democrats to come forward and be like, oh, you guys missed it. But this is why we did it, because as of now, there's no flipping reason. And all the people, I was not affected by government shutdown. OK, but I have people around me that were. And of course, we know there were a lot of people across the nation. All the suffering that they went through for nothing.
For nothing. I mean, if we were going to cave, you should have just caved on day one or day zero. Like, why even have the fight?
Right.
Now, listen, I do think they're all a bunch of chicken shits. I do think they betrayed the rest of the party. I think if they were going to do it, they should have just come out and been public about it and tried to garner support. But no, they didn't do any of that. Having said all of that, I do think there are a little bit of a silver lining potentially here. And I do want to offer a small potential justification for it.
Oh, a little positivity from Harness, I like to call this.
I don't know if it's positivity or not, but let me just play this. I put this together for one of my videos the other day talking about this topic. Okay. And, you know, they were saying that you can't negotiate with Trump. You're negotiating with somebody who is willing to let people starve and is willing to have the military unpaid and cause chaos and all that stuff. So okay. I just made this to sort of make a verbal articulation of the point.
Okay.
Good. Good. Got that out of the way. You prove your point.
Okay. I wish it would have gone off.
Well, no, that's Reacher. We don't want Reacher dying. But the point of that scene is if you're negotiating with someone who's willing to just put a gun to their head and keep pulling the trigger over and over, at some point you got to be like, hold on, this is going to take the gun back. Like, you made your point. You're crazy. How can I negotiate with you?
Why ever shut down in the first place then, dude? I mean, literally.
I agree, except maybe it did take 40 days to be like, this guy's a maniac. Like, how are we supposed to negotiate with him when he's willing to put a gun to the head of himself in America and just keep pulling the trigger over and over, going, look at me, I'm just going to keep pulling the trigger. What are you going to do?
You don't think at any point in time the pressure would have become so great that he would have put the gun down and said, okay, we got to do something. Yeah.
No. I do. I'm not in favor of them caving on the shutdown. I'm just saying I think that's how they were looking at it. And I think we should have called Trump's bluff. I think we should have kept the subsidies, kept that battle going.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, I don't agree with it. I'm just saying I think that's the way they were looking at it.
Yeah.
And it does give a little cover for a couple of things. So any of the Democrats that are on the right side of this, right, they still get to say, like, I was willing to hold the line. I wasn't going to back down. I'm sorry we got backdoored by these seven yahoos, but, you know, I was going to hold the line. And we also never gave Trump a chance to do the right thing. So this does sort of solidify that Trump was willing to starve people to death, cause airline traffic chaos, not pay government employees. We never gave him a chance to fix Obamacare, which would have benefited him next year. So this is not an ideal scenario, but I'm saying it does cement the fact he was going to pull the trigger over and over and over to the head of America and to his own political, you know, his own party. Like, so we did solidify the guy's fucking nuts. So, you know, yeah, I would have held the line. But now that it's not held, I'm just saying there's a little silver lining. Plus, they got to vote on Epstein now. So that's the other mildly good thing.
Dude, I feel like, you know, we are in a new world where, I mean, I know politicians have always lied, but not in such an outright egregious way. You know, it was always sort of like hidden and then it would come out. Yeah. The messaging's all fucked up, no matter which way you look at it, because Trump is still going on TV. He's just sat down with Laura Ingraham and basically said, you know, like, this is the Democrat shutdown, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so all of his supporters are going to hear him continue to say that. And then when we go to the Democrat side, I feel like when you lay down with dogs, you get fleas, dude. We're all kind of painted as one. I mean, these certain Democrats that caved painted a picture for all of us as weak and ineffective.
Well, it makes us look dumb for sure that we couldn't keep the whole party together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, John Fetterman, first of all, just fuck that guy. I mean, I was a fan of his originally.
Yeah.
And he's just fallen apart. He's become a bit of a Trump lapdog. And I'm all about dressing casually, but you can't ever just not wear a hoodie on TV to the halls of Congress and the Senate. Like, that all kind of is increasingly bothering me with him.
Yeah. From you, that's a big statement, dude, because we're the kings of cash, you know?
Exactly. But you don't see me wearing a hoodie. I mean, at least the shirt's got a collar on it. Like, that all bothers me. And, yeah, the two Democrats from Nevada where I'm at, I know they were freaked out that Vegas tourism was going to drop, but that's a very self-centered way to look at it all. Then we have Angus King, who, is actually an independent. We got a bunch of other people that are knocking on heaven's door. They're all a bunch of old farts that are about to die, aren't up for re-election. So, not cool.
Politics has made me regret that our life expectancy keeps going up and up and up. You know, like, these people used to be out of here by 40 because they were in the ground.
Right.
Now we got a bunch of skeletons walking around.
Listen, I'm in favor of some sort of mandatory retirement age. Yeah. The problem is it's those people that have to vote on it, and I don't think they're going to vote for it. I don't think they want to give up their power, but... Geez, people. I mean, if Social Security kicks in at 65, certainly by 75, can't we all call it a day? I don't care how popular you are.
Serious.
Like, go out on top. I don't want to see Metallica still up there at age 90, like, know when to retire.
Then you make me think about, like, RBG. You know, I supported her till the end.
She should have retired at some point, too, when a Democrat could have replaced her. Like, yeah. There's something to be said about all of that stuff. Yeah. Like, retire at an intelligent age, elected officials and Supreme Court justices, so that, A, you set it up to have a successor that's not a moron.
That's right.
And, B, enjoy the end of your life. Like, what the hell, man?
Yes. You think you're so caught up in public service, okay? Laura Ingraham sat down with Trump and asked him, hey, is there anything that the Democrats should learn from this shutdown and what just happened? And, of course, he said, yeah, I mean, there are. Let's see.
Sir, what lessons do you think the Democrats should learn from this shutdown saga?
Well, the country loses a lot of money when they do this, and they're not getting much, but nobody gets a lot. But it's terrible. What they really wanted was $1.5 trillion for people that came in illegally, people that came in through and out of prisons. You know, we had like Venezuela. They dumped their prisons.
They said that was all exaggerated.
I know it's exaggerated. They wanted $1.5 trillion for healthcare from people that were, in some cases, 11,888 exactly murderers, many of whom murdered more than one person. So they came in to our country, they poured into our country, and they want to take care, and we're trying to get them out because we don't want 11,000 murderers in our country. You don't want it. Nobody wants it. And we have drug dealers and we have everything else that they want to make sure they got good health care. That's not what our country's about. And it would have hurt other people's healthcare.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He's going to sit and perpetuate the lie. And, all those people just kind of fall in line and be like, you know, they were doing the right thing. It was for our healthcare.
11,888. You can give a specific number when you're just making it up.
Yes, exactly.
That part's easy. It drives me nuts, this just this myth that they keep, trying to push on all of us. So,
yeah.
It's exhausting. I did a video today about a congresswoman in Iowa that actually finally did a town hall. She had said she would do one when hell froze over. And for some reason, I think because government was shut down, she had to do something at home. She did one. And yeah, she just kept pushing this stuff in Iowa, in deeply red Iowa. And the crowd was booing and jeering and people were getting thrown out for taunting her. And she was like, California gives, illegal immigrants. And it's true. California does have some systems for undocumented immigrants for public assistance, whatnot. But that's with state money. It's not with federal money. And someone in the crowd even yelled that at her. And she's like, oh, there's loopholes where they're spending federal tax dollars. Like, yeah, well, they're generating more than any other state. But just stop. They keep saying that, illegal aliens, quote unquote, are, when they go to the emergency room, they're taking up Medicaid spending then.
Right.
I looked it up today because somebody in that crowd shouted out 0.04%. And I thought that's a specific number to shout in a crowd. And the guy was spot on. 0.04% is what Medicaid spending goes towards undocumented immigrants in an emergency room.
Not 4%. 0.04%.
Not even 0.4. 0.04.
Yeah.
So, They just want to keep hating, and Trump wants to keep lying. And the fact that he was sitting there with that smug look on his face just tells you that we kind of gave him a win here by caving to him, and I freaking hate that.
We totally did. Yeah, I mean, John Stewart, you know, we love John Stewart here, but he just did a great piece on it, and it was so simple. It was like... that we caved. What the fuck is going on? And he's talking about all the same things we are, as far as like, why did we do it for as long as we did if we weren't going to finish it off, dude?
Yeah, spot on. So, I mean, like I said, the only good news is this is going to hurt a lot of people. The Affordable Care Act premiums are up and they're not going to go down. This myth, this funny freaking idea that now that the government's open, now, because the Democrats, these stupid seven or eight of them, keep saying like, well, we're going to write the bill ourselves and they're going to vote on it. Yeah. What do you think the odds are that it even comes up for a vote, let alone there's any genuine debate on the topic? And you really think they're going to vote in favor of doing something to fix this?
Of course they're not, dude. I mean, we've been completely duped. If you believed it for a second, you know, you believed a lie.
It's what, Lucy and Charlie Brown? Is that her name? You know, always holding the football. Come on, Charlie Brown, I'll hold it this time. Oh, you know,
yes.
Spot on what they just did to the entire Democratic Party because of these eight idiots. And yeah, they do make us all look pretty stupid. My only hope is that a year from now in the midterms, everyone's going to forget, per se, about this dumb thing. But the ripple effects of Affordable Care Act and just affordability in general and the release of the Epstein files, whatever we're going to see in those, like those will stick.
Let's hope so. Little Mikey Johnson, we call him Skippy around here. He was asked about swearing in this final vote so the Epstein files could be released. This is what he had to say about it.
When are you going to swear in Congresswoman-elect Adelita Grijalva of Arizona, who was elected way back in September?
Yeah, just as I promised, as soon as we get back to legislative session. So, I mean, before we have this vote that we're talking about, she'll be administered the oath.
After the House gavels in, but before the vote.
Right. Yeah, sure. As soon as we get started. Yeah.
And then she has said that she is going to be the 218th vote to force the discharge petition, to release the Epstein files, et cetera, et cetera.
She has the right. I mean, that's immaterial to us. It's now a moot point, by the way. The Oversight Committee has been delving in deeply to the Epstein investigation, and they've released 43,000 pages of the Epstein files, more to come. Subpoenas are being complied with. By the way, the latest batch was the Epstein estate files that is not even considered in the discharge petition, was never mentioned. But that was a treasure trove of information, and they released his personal logs, his flight logs, his financial records, and even his daily calendar. So there's plenty of oversight. All of that information is going to be released to the public. The only thing they're redacting, Jake, is the names of the innocent victims.
Sure.
And we insisted upon that, and everybody of common sense understands why that is.
Of course.
You're such good people, dude. If all that information is so telling and it's been released, why the F aren't you doing anything about it, dude? I mean, if you really care about those people, like if we have all that info already available, why are you doing anything about it?
They're touting what they have released, ignoring what they have not released.
Yes.
It's just like when Trump declassified the JFK assassination stuff. Like all the experts said, you declassified like 95% of it. We want the other 5%.
Yeah.
Like what's in that that you're still not releasing?
Yes.
So, yeah, I know all sorts of Epstein stuff has already been made public and released. That's not the point. We want to see the pictures in the vault. We want to see the full list of names, not of the victims, of the perpetrators. We want to see whatever the hell it is you're freaking out about that Trump said, like, oh, I'll release them. Well, maybe, you know, there's a lot of guilty or innocent people in there. Like, maybe I won't release. Like, I want to know what is making that man squirm.
Yes.
Where they vowed to release this, then they got in there, now they are all silent about it. So obviously there's something going on, or they would have just put it all out there a long time ago.
Do you hear anything or read anything about Bongino and Pam Bondi getting in fights over all of this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big Bon Jovi fan. I'm glad he's standing up and fighting Pam Bondi. Wanted dead or alive, right?
Yeah, dead or alive. We'll take it either way.
So, I mean, like I said, these are the silver linings, I guess. And I have heard a theory that Mike Johnson's going to bring the House back in. They're going to vote on this and then gavel him back on vacation. Like, yeah. Oh, we're not going to get to the Epstein thing this week. Maybe not next week either.
We've got other things. We got to feed people. We got to get people going again, you know, fix the airlines and everything else. Yeah, I know they're going to slow roll it. That's a given.
Yeah, but we'll see. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about the caving. You know, I am pissed. I do think there's a small little silver lining given the situation we're in. But no, I would have rathered we held the line and did the right thing. And as I've said on the show before, I'm on the ACA. I don't want my premium spiking.
Yeah.
I don't want them going up for anyone else.
The last thing I'll say about this, dude, is that when you start to look at people like Zohran Mamdani and AOC, some of these this fresh blood with new ideas and a little courage coming into our party are the people that I am leaning more and more toward, dude. I'm not trusting all these old bastards that have lied to me, too, as a registered Democrat for a long time.
Yeah, no, it's totally fair. Any mega types complaining about Mamdani, I want you to understand, you created him.
Yes.
We've talked about it before. It's the political pendulum. The further you pull it in one direction, the further it, flies into the other. So you create a Trump and it creates a Mamdani and everything in between, like we saw in the blue wave last week. They weren't all democratic socialists.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this is what happens. The intelligent thing for all of us to actually do would be to start to elect some centrists. So the pendulum is just sort of bobbing gently. Not going freaking crazy because we're all getting whiplash and we're not slowing the thing down, and we probably should get back to governing that actually governs, that compromises.
Yeah.
Government is never supposed to be just one side gets everything they want.
It's just constant chaos, dude, because we're trying to, correct each side, to pull it back to that middle point. Yeah. And, waste a lot of time. I have some good news I'll bring to you, Steve, and I wanted to talk to you about this a little bit because I didn't see it right away, and it comes out of my home state. Olympia, Washington, which is where the capital is. I saw this announcement, and I thought, I haven't heard of anyone else making this statement. Your thoughts on this?
Okay.
So the Olympia Police Department just made a really cool statement. They said that we are a sanctuary city, and if you see ICE detaining somebody, to call 911, to call them. They will come and help. They are refusing to cooperate with ICE, and they will come to verify whether or not what they are doing is lawful, whether they're actually fucking ICE agents. Unfortunately, they can't super intervene. But they will send out response units to help with family members, to support people, to verify the incident, who's being taken, document it, all that stuff, get video recordings of the incidents. And they are doing a city council study discussion on December 2nd to inform the public of everything that they are planning to do with to help with all these ICE raids.
Yeah. What do you think about that, dude? I mean, the actual cops stepping in and saying, you know what, we don't like what's going on either. These guys that are running around kidnapping people are not law enforcement. So call us and we'll do our very best to, make the situation a little better, at least know where people are going.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, taking her at her word there, she was saying they're not going to directly intervene. And by the way, you'd have to get them there in time. Like they tend to swoop in and tackle people and, so maybe a little help after the fact would certainly come in handy. I mean, we have heard multiple people say that, my husband's gone. I don't know where he is. I can't get any, connections, accountabilities. This son's out of state. So the police stepping in to help would be something.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what exactly that is. I mean, that would be a hell of a viral video if the local cops showed up and actually intervened directly and either forced them to identify themselves or whatever. I would love to see that.
But yeah.
Sanctuary cities are so misunderstood. It's not that it's just a lawless land where you can do anything. It's just meant to say that the cops don't do federal enforcement of crimes like immigration. Right. Because you don't want somebody with questionable documentation status getting raped and not being willing to call the police because she's worried that she's going to get deported. Like, that's what the whole sanctuary city thing is. Like, we're going to deal with the local crime at hand. We're not going to ask for your papers. We're not going to call immigration on you. Like, so, you know, if they do that in Olympia and they want to help out, I mean, it's certainly needed. And the FBI did put out a formal I don't know what they call it, directive or whatever, to ICE to stop wearing the masks already. Yep. We talked about on the last show that was coming. They formally did it.
Yes. The Olympia Police Department did emphasize exactly what you just said as far as a sanctuary status does not stop ICE, but it limits local cooperation. They're basically saying that all they're trying to do now is they're aiming to protect immigrant residents' rights and safety. So there was one example of Olympia Police Department was alerted. They didn't get there until 30 minutes after this all went down, which we know that could be a huge problem, right? But at the very least, they do open up an investigation of where these people went. They can track and identify some information, which, I mean, at this point, anything, any help we can get with these kidnappings, I think is a good thing. So,
yeah, it probably is. But unfortunately, one of the tricks ICE keeps doing is if you get arrested in Washington State, they will get you out of there as quickly as they can.
Yes.
They'll send you to a holding center in Louisiana or just any other state.
Yeah.
Because A, your family can't get to you, and B, even if you have a lawyer, they're going to be licensed in the state you live in.
Yes.
Most lawyers don't pass the bar in every state, so your Washington State lawyer is not going to help you as soon as you're down in Louisiana or whatever. So
completely. The other side of this to remember is Olympia Police Department offers, officers who respond to these calls, even if they do get there late, they aim to support impacted families with crisis response units when possible. So, you know, we see so many of these videos, and the other side of the family or the other half of the family is sitting there like, what the F just happened? What do I do now? At least to have some resources to kind of know where to get started, I suppose, is a nice thing. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Well, all right. Anything else on this topic?
Negative.
Another thing that we keep talking about on the show, in addition to ICE agents being impersonated because they make it oh so fucking easy to do, are these, you know, clearly illegal boat strikes going on off the coast of Venezuela. Now we're having them in the Pacific. And we talked on the last show that the Associated Press sent actual reporters down to Venezuela and started interviewing people like who do you know these people? And yeah, some of them were fishermen, taxi drivers, like some of them had affiliations with gangs, but not all of them. And we just murdered them.
Yeah.
And it came out today, and it's just starting to gain a little traction, but I think this is a pretty major news story. The UK, United Kingdom, suspends some intelligence sharing with the US over these boat strike concerns. The UK no longer sharing intelligence with the United States about suspected drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean because it does not want to be complicit in what they feel are illegal strikes.
As much as I miss the actual intel, bravo, dude. Why I don't want to take any part in this if I'm another country.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
And that speaks volumes.
Totally.
That one of our longest running allies is like, guys, what you're doing here is not okay, and we don't want any part of this.
Yes.
They share intelligence for all sorts of things, but they're willing to cut this part off at least to just say like, no, because they say, let me see here real quick. Shortly after the U.S. began launching lethal strikes against the boats in September, the U.K. grew concerned that the U.S. might be using their intelligence that they exclusively had to select some of these targets. In other words, U.S. didn't have some of this. Britain said, oh, hey, there's these boats, and then they went and killed them. And Britain's like, hold on. We did not give you that information so you could go murder people in international waters.
Yeah, you did it without further investigation, which makes us feel a little icky because, it could have been this, but it we weren't ready to just, you know, deploy missiles, you idiots.
Right. No, exactly. And then what's going to happen now if there is some terrorist activity happening that the UK could have been, you know, given us a heads up on, but they've cut us off or they're shielding, you know, it's never good when one of your longest allies is cutting you off from, you know, intel because they don't trust you anymore.
100%. You always hear Trump, you know, it's always about dictators. You know, I think it's nice to get along with Putin, you know, like I think it's nice to get along with Xi. Like, you don't think it's nice to get along with one of your longest standing allies?
Right. Yeah. Nope. It's the name of the game. That's why we have allies, to try to coordinate on these things. So, yeah. And as we talked in the last show too, you know, part of the United Nations is saying they're going to start looking into this. Like, I don't see how this doesn't end up in some international tribunal where Trump is put on trial for murdering people.
You know what? The only reason I hope that that's not true is I hope he doesn't make it to a trial, you know, like I hope that it just that he dies of old age before that point. Let's
can we do both?
This. Yes,
can we like have him on trial, maybe guilty, and then he has a heart attack and dies?
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I mean,
natural causes, everyone. Natural causes is what we're wishing his death on.
Yeah, let's paint the best picture, and yeah, that would be a good outcome. So, I agree. Okay, you got anything else on that?
Nope.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit. Hold on a second here. It's Veterans Day. Hey, guys, happy Veterans Day out there. And to anyone who did serve, thank you for your service. Let's watch a little video by Captain Bonespur here saying hello to all the veterans. I don't know if it'll be Veterans Day anymore, to tell you the truth.
We don't like being politically correct.
No.
So we're not going to be politically correct anymore. From now on, when we fight a war, we only fight for one reason, to win. We fight to...
Did you... What, did we ever fight a war not to win? I mean...
Just to say, that's a new thing? We fought wars to lose them before, huh? Okay.
Yes. To win. As you know, today is not only Veterans Day, but it's my proclamation that we are now going to be saying and calling Victory Day for World War One. Victory Day, you know, I was recently at an event and I saw France was celebrating Victory Day, but yeah, we didn't. And I saw France was celebrating another Victory Day for World War Two.
No, you didn't.
And other countries were celebrating. They were all celebrating. We're the one that won the wars. And I said, from now on, we're going to say Victory Day for World War One and World War Two.
Good, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really doing important work.
We would not have a country if France didn't help us out during the Revolutionary War. So there is that.
Yes.
But again, these are allies. Like, we did not win any of the world wars all by ourselves. And there are also veterans that didn't survive some of these things. There are veterans of wars we didn't win, like Vietnam, like... It's not Victory Day, you asshole. It's supposed to honor anyone who is a veteran, including veterans that never fought in a war.
Yes, dude. 100% spot on, Steve. And, you know, it's called World War for a reason. Like, it's not just us. You're such a moron. When he starts to rename shit, it kills me, dude. And I think to myself, like, oh, there's people eating this shit up, and this is proof of that right here.
We in the Gulf of America, baby. Woohoo! Ain't it pretty?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty.
Ain't it pretty? It's the Gulf of America. Yes, as we've talked about, he wants to rebrand everything, put his stamp on everything. He wants to take over countries, rename stuff, have his name on stadiums and monuments and the Arc de Trump, and just take a dump all over military people that he was never one of.
Yeah.
But now that he's the commander in chief, like, he wants to play with all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can't just be Veterans Day. No, it's got to be Victory Day, because everything has to be some sort of triumph for him.
Yes, 100%.
Nauseating.
You know, my wife's a veteran, and, you know, as she was leaving for work this morning, I was like, happy Veterans Day, you know, and we just were talking for a minute, and it made me think back, like, at the at the Dave Matthews concert over the summer. She wore one of her T-shirts were just veterans against Trump is what it said. Mm-hmm. Because believe it or not, not all veterans love this idiot.
Right.
But I was surprised how many people made a comment on it. You know, like, What you're, that's the, you know, that's not a very true veteran, you know, to be against Trump. Like, you know what? That's the truest of all veterans is to practice dissent and free speech and, you know, to speak out against this asshole. So
you're defending that American freedom, you know?
Yes.
Like this guy, Donald here says, as a vet on Veterans Day, fuck that pasty draft dodging fascist captain ankle spurs useless a-hole.
Well done. Well done.
And you've got the right to say that because you helped defend that right. And every president has always understood that. It's why you can burn the American flag, by the way.
Yes, 100%. And he's trying to outlaw that because it sparks rage in communities. I then went on thinking, gosh, he's just ruining Veterans Day. I already knew he hated vets. They're suckers. They're losers. He doesn't want to see the disfigured ones.
Right.
You know, this is who we're looking at. And I was just feeling hopeless, Stephen. You know, and then I came across this video.
Hello, everybody.
What?
As we approach Veterans Day, I wanted to stop by and just say thank you for your extraordinary service to you, your family. The sacrifices that all of you made to protect our country is something that will always be honored. And we are very grateful, and we also happen to welcome you with a 70-degree day in D.C., which doesn't always happen around here.
Sir,
that's the first time I've seen a president, former or current, greet an honor flight, and that is absolutely amazing. A commander-in-chief, a leader who's going to show up and tell you that your service was worth something. I think that's the important part, so I think it was a great thing to know.
Last time I got to see a president, it was Gerald Ford.
How about that?
Where's Obama airing his grievances and trying to rename everything and lashing out at his enemies?
Like, remember, call it Victory Day. Victory Day from now on, you know.
God damn, man. Every time I see Obama nowadays, it just fills my heart with pride I used to feel in this country to see somebody that knows how to do it, that it's not about him.
Yes. I mean, as soon as that came on and I was like, oh, he did. I started to get emotional. I was like, this is actually what it's all about, dude. Right. Not playing army, you know, and war and victory day, you know.
Now, in fairness, the only reason he was at the airport is he was stuck from flight delays and he had nothing else to do.
So. Democrat shutdown, dude. Come on.
Right. I would have loved to see him be like, just a reminder, if you want to get out of this country, we got exits to the country of the north. We got exits to the country of the south.
Yeah, 100%. It's just, yeah, every once in a while, it feels good to look at a real president, just like Joanne Gross says.
Indeed. Yeah, good old Obama. And it has been nice to see him getting a little vocal of late.
So. Yes.
Fun stuff. Yeah. Well, happy Veterans Day. Are we allowed to say happy Veterans Day?
Yeah.
It's late Memorial Day. You're not supposed to say happy Memorial Day.
Correct.
Because those people died.
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
Let me make sure we clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Speaking of Obama, maybe doing something good for our team, a judge in Utah today handed us a little bit of a win. Did you hear about this?
No, I don't think so.
Let's see. A Utah judge rejects the GOP-favored map of their gerrymandering attempts, handing Dems another redistricting win.
Oh, really?
Yes. A Utah, deeply red state, clearly, judge on Monday rejected a Republican-approved congressional map in favor of the alternative one made by Democrats. Because she said, based on the evidence presented, the court finds that the Republicans' House map was drawn with the purpose to favor Republicans, which would be, what's that word? Illegal.
Illegal.
It's illegal.
Right, yeah. You mean because it's supposed to be done for the people, right? To give a free and fair vote?
Yeah, I mean, gerrymandering is not supposed to be an okay thing to do. And just again, I know if anyone's going to, California, yeah, they're doing it to offset what Trump is doing with his attempts to gerrymander and essentially rig next year's election. Yeah. So, you know, part of it seems to be backfiring because now this judge in Utah just handed the Dems what should be another seat. And by the way, this map was not just drawn by like the elected Democrats there. The judge ruled in favor of the updated district lines drawn by the plaintiffs, the League of Women Voters of Utah, and the Mormon Women for Ethical Government.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought I would hear all those things, dude.
Yeah. So that's a small win. And I'm also seeing some theories that, you know, parts of Texas where they've redistricted, like given the momentum we've got on our team, yeah, some of those seats aren't guaranteed to be Republican anymore. It would be hilarious if we actually flipped some of those new seats because they divided their power. Completely. You know, when you condense a Republican area, you're guaranteed to win. When you split it in half and try to tip it both ways, and you know, that could epically backfire on you. So yeah, we'll see.
We got a troll in the chat. He's a Prop 50 ring a bell. You all are biased as hell. He just said it, dude. That was a reaction to an illegal play, dude. Right. Don't start shit. Don't start none if you don't want none.
That's right. Don't start none, won't be none. That was a response, not a initiation. Yep. So bite me, and don't tell me that you would just roll over in any given fight. That's like having somebody walk up to you in your favorite redneck bar that I assume you hang out in. Someone punches you in the face. You're just like, well, punching's wrong. I'm just going to let you sit here and pummel me to death. Like,
exactly.
It's a reaction. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's the political pendulum again. Yeah. I know you mega types aren't big into science, but that's how it works.
Well, that's good news then, dude. So a lot of people said, oh, we had such a big night on November 4th for the Democrats, and then to roll right into the cave on this shutdown. But if we can start seeing little stuff like this, little wins for the party of blue keep popping up and ramp up to those midterms in a positive way, then I'll feel good.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good win. How about Supreme Court?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court this week decided not to take up the objection to what is commonly called gay marriage equality, really. Gay Americans expressed relief on Monday after the Supreme Court denied a request to revisit a decade-old decision that established same-sex marriage as a national right.
Yeah.
And I know that there are conservative groups that are trying to go back at this, trying to come up with a different legal challenge. And I guess we just got to take it one step at a time. But it gives me a little hope. If the Supreme Court was just dying to overturn it, they did pass up an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, look, okay. So we remember this all started with that Kim Davis, the county clerk. Who refused to do the marriage license issue.
Refused to do her job.
Yes. So my thing is with this, my wife's an attorney. I was talking to her the other night, and I was just like, hey, this is fantastic. You see this today? And she was like, yeah, I saw it. And I was like, you seem down. You know, you don't seem as excited as I would think you would.
She hates gay people. I know.
She was like, you know, I mean, it's exciting, but she said the only reason that they voted to not take it down is because they're trying to position themselves better all across the states to bring this in a different way. So they, when they do shut it down, it can go forward without any issue or with a lot less issue than it would now.
Wow. Way to rain on our parade.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess it's just honesty. You know, the decision obviously will temporarily preserve same-sex marriage. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing tension between not only religious liberties, but a lot of just MAGA asshats. And now that the Supreme Court is who it is, you know, remember Brett Kavanaugh? Remember Amy? She said, oh, yeah, we're not going to reverse Roe v. Wade. I mean, we've seen them lie to us before. They said they wouldn't repeal gay marriage, but I don't trust that.
I don't trust it at all, and it was stressing me out. I have quite a few gay people in my life that I care a lot about. Several of them with the same last name as me. One of them is a child of mine, and I don't like that we even had to stress this week that a right you have was about to be taken away, and as you're saying, it's still in jeopardy, and it could still be screwed with, all because – you know, they just want to have the same rights as everyone else, all because they want to pursue this dream, whether it's a fool's errand or not, to get married. Because my aunt was gay and was a big advocate. She was one of the first people to ever be technically, you know, married to a woman, not legally, because it wasn't accepted back then in the 80s. Yeah. First artificial insemination of a lesbian couple. And, you know, none of it is guaranteed. It you know, came into being, but it can go away. And they got divorced. You know, gay marriage is not some sort of guarantee that life is going to be harmonious. But these are things that we all want to pursue in life. We all, most people anyways, they want to get married and have a family, whether they have kids or not. So to dangle this in front of this community and tell them you got it now, but it could go away. I would just love to think any straight people out there. Do you if your marriage was in jeopardy, would you find that at all comical or at all just the status quo or at all like whatever the Supreme Court says, I guess we're going to follow?
Yeah.
Like you think it's guaranteed for you, but why is it not for others?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. It's a little sad. Well, it's more than a little sad. It's very sad to think about the fact that something can be taken away. They just did a nationwide poll. I don't know who they are, but it was a pretty prominent poll asking people in this day and age, what is your version of the American dream for you? And, you know, they came in with different, like, some of it was like buying a house and having a car, you know, is my American dream. But sure, the highest percentage was, you know, to get married and possibly have a family was the highest percentage of people said. All the people I have in my life that aren't heterosexual, I find them, well, they're in my life. They're some of the most loving people around. I couldn't think of one reason, if you paid me $1 million to, that they shouldn't be able to marry. Yes. I mean, if you have anything in your heart that says, like, these people, well, this, you know, the Matt Walshes of the world, like, well, they can't parent with, you know, two genders, like, traditionally, you know, you're a piece of shit, dude. And, yes. Yeah, I don't want you on my side anyway, I guess.
Marriage is not just a baby-making excuse, you know.
No.
Sex doesn't have to be for procreation. Not that you can't adopt. Not that, like I said, my aunt was artificially inseminated. But it doesn't matter, man. I mean, not everyone needs to have kids. And not everyone's marriage has to look like yours. And whatever Adam and Steve are doing next door has zero effect on you. I mean, these are fights that we fought forever. I mean, you and I started this radio show in 2001, and this was a topic back then.
Yeah.
That one of our bosses one time told me, like, why do you keep talking about this? Like, what do you care?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do care. I care just in general, but I am affected by it, by people I do care about. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's a small victory that we made it through this week without that right being taken away. And I can only hope that maybe we – before it comes back up again, maybe we can change the makeup of the court. And as I've told my firstborn, the good news is this is the best time in the history of the world to be gay. Like, it's more accepted than ever. Yeah. And it's just getting more and more. The acceptance of, you know, the gay lifestyle or whatever, it's up to, like, I don't know, 70-something percent. I mean, yeah, the vast majority of Americans are completely fine with it. Because A, they have seen that the world hasn't imploded, and B, a lot of people have realized they know a gay person, and oh, hey, they're just a person.
Yeah.
That's what I've always said. Here's the thing about gay people. They're fucking people, okay?
Right.
Like, yeah. Who are you to say that what they're doing is right or wrong? And we know there's gay animals, and no one chooses to be gay. Why would you choose to have this discriminatory lifestyle?
Yeah,
you
know, right.
It's absurd. So –
and I thought Republicans were for, like, stay out of my bedrooms, you know, stay right out of my house, limited government. Like, you only get involved in it when it's something you're afraid of because you're a little bitch.
You know? It is one of the biggest hypocritical issues out there that, yeah, you know, MAGA world is all for states' rights when they agree with what you're fighting for. Otherwise, yeah, they want to be in your bedroom. They want to be on sports teams. I mean, the transgender thing is dumb enough that the government thinks they have to dictate how sport leagues can run their own sports.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure baseball and football and swimming, they can come up with their own freaking rules about transgender. But Trump today on Veterans Day was on the Pat McAfee radio show calling in and bitching about the kickoff rule for the NFL. Like, what happened to Republicans saying small government, let business be business? You're going to stick your nose in the kickoff rule?
Yes.
You're going to get that nuanced?
Like, he knows it better than anyone.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really, don't tread on me. But I'm going to say who can and can't get married and who can have abortions and how the ball can be kicked off in football.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's involved in everything. Let's find a little hypocrisy in this Republican Party once again as Trump sat down with Laura Ingraham and had an interview, Steve. She asked him some good, I don't like Laura Ingraham, but she asked him some questions that I thought, oh, that's a good question to ask him. This one just happened to be about bringing in over a half million, 600,000 or better to be more precise, Chinese students to pay to go to university here in the States.
About this idea of hundreds of thousands of foreign students in the United States. We have about 350,000 Chinese. One point during COVID, you were going to, you know, push to, you know, get them out, but that was pulled back. You've said as many as 600,000 Chinese students could come to the United States. Why, sir, is that a pro-MAGA position when many American kids want to go to school and there are places not for them and these universities are getting rich off Chinese money?
Sure. Never said about China, but we do have a lot of people coming in from China. We always have China and other countries. We also have a massive system of colleges and universities. And if we were to cut that in half, which perhaps makes some people happy, you would have half the colleges in the United States go out of business.
So what?
Well, I think that's a big deal.
Are they fans?
You would have the
historically, fans of the United States?
Yeah, but you would have, as you know, historically black colleges and universities would all be out of business. You would have a system of colleges and universities.
So we're dependent on China to keep our university system going?
But I think it's good to have, I actually think it's good to have outside countries.
Okay.
Since when? But okay.
Right. This guy can't keep his story straight. Right. You know, he has to run over to, you know, if we don't do this, all the black colleges will be gone. Why? I mean, what does the black colleges have anything to do? Why would they leave if we didn't bring in 600,000 Chinese students?
I have no idea. And by the way, I'm fine with 600,000 Chinese students coming in. Yeah. We have a brain drain going on in this country. We are supposed to be the country that everyone else wants to come and study and live in and, you know, hopefully get jobs and everything else here. So, I mean, he's not wrong per se, but of course he's being insanely hypocritical.
Oh, I mean, okay, so first of all, this is an America First agenda that he sold to you while he was trying to be elected. But wasn't he just trying to take colleges down because they're liberally biased? You know, we've got too many universities. We got to get the trades back. We got to get rid of some of these profit schools. They're making money like crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, none of this makes any sense. This has drawn quite a bit of backlash from MAGA. And critics,
which is hilarious.
Yeah, which is hilarious. But they say, oh, these Chinese students, potential communist spies and other threats to America, you're just bringing right in. And I'm just like, what are you talking about, dude?
I am more than sure that when Trump went and met with the leader of China to try to get the TikTok deal and the trade deal in place, this issue probably came up.
Yes.
And so I wish Trump would just say, like, hey, I was meeting with Xi and he said he wanted this and we need international relations. But the problem is then he just exposes his hypocrisy, that he's just going to base it on your skin color and nation of origin instead of just being what America's supposed to be, a melting pot. Like, that's the whole freaking premise here.
Yes. And you're so right. I mean, there is a brain drain going on. Let's bring in some people that can, you know, kickstart this economy and get some things happening here. Speculation suggests the decision is driven primarily by economic motives to sustain struggling U.S. colleges financially rather than an allegiance to China. But he's doing all kinds of stuff with China. You brought up TikTok. I mean, all kinds of promises were made in that meeting.
Have we heard anything, by the way? He said the deal was done. It's going to be. We haven't heard anything because the deal wasn't done.
No.
He was lying, obviously.
Of course he was, dude. Laura Ingraham did talk to him a little bit about him tariffing China and why he was starting to give in to China more. This is just, I play this clip only because I can't believe what an idiot he is.
China was going to hit us with rare earth. Now, everybody says, so what does that mean? Magnets. If China refused to give magnets because they have a monopoly on magnets because they were allowed to happen over a 32-year period, there wouldn't be a car made in the entire world. There wouldn't be a radio. There wouldn't be a television. There wouldn't be internet. There wouldn't be anything because magnets are such a part. Now, Nobody knows what magnets are, and not overly sophisticated, but to build a magnet system would take 2 years. So if I weren't able to say to China, look, if you're going to do that to us, we're going to charge you 158% tariff. It was 100% on top of 58%. And China called up immediately and said, we will make peace. And we made peace. We made a great deal.
What is that? You know what a magnet is?
Yeah, and I know what rare earth elements are, and I know there's some crossover there.
Yeah,
that I'm sure there are rare earth elements in magnets. Not that any of that exists exclusively in China.
It's a monopoly, Steve.
Right, but that's not even the point. It's not like we need rare earth elements to make more magnets. Right. We need them to make cell phones and computers and lithium batteries and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
no one's ever heard of rare earth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they have a hit song. It's called Get Ready. We know what rare earth is around here, dude.
That's a good time oldies reference right there.
Yes, it is, dude. And we know what magnets are. I'm so tired of him being like, it's a word we haven't heard in a long time. Like, no, we know what these words mean. You,
I think we got to the bottom of what magnets are a long time ago. And I love this one. If you pour water on magnet, that's the end of the magnet. Like, yes. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I'm 1,000% sure he does not know what the hell he's talking about.
Yes. No, 100% he does not.
I do have some good news, though, on Chinese people coming here.
Okay, good.
None of them will be fat. And before anyone thinks I'm just being an asshole, this is a real story.
Yep.
Came out today. Donald Trump administration may deny visas for fat foreigners.
Not going to do it.
No fatties.
No fatties. All right. We got our own fat problem here. That's why we're starving people on SNAP and releasing Ozempic.
It's hilarious. Foreign nationals applying to enter the United States can now be denied visas if they are obese, according to the new guidance issued. Overweight people have medical conditions and higher health care costs and blah, 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 blah. Does anyone see the hypocrisy and irony that the average mega type and Trump himself would qualify as obese? Are we going to deport everyone who is obese?
Yeah, who knows, dude? We could. We're going to start deporting U.S. citizens soon, you know.
For a bunch of fat mega fuckers to be sitting around with their beer bellies poking out like, yeah, don't let none of them fatties into this country, you know, like.
Don't do it. Wow. It's absolutely insane. You know, if we stop letting fatties into this country, we're not going to have any ICE agents to hire.
And Meg is never getting laid, by the way. So, I mean, come on.
Can't even reproduce. I made kind of a off-the-cuff joke about deporting U.S. citizens. I saw this little video clip, and I was shocked by this, okay?
Okay.
Need more evidence the U.S. is about to deport U.S. citizens? Here it is. I'm a lawyer in real life. I don't play one on television. And something happened this week that you need to see and hear in order to believe it.
My amendment is simple, and I hope that it has bipartisan support. It simply states that none of the funds in this bill may be used by Immigration and Customs Enforcement to detain or deport U.S. citizens. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I hope we can all agree that U.S. citizens should never be detained by ICE or any agency conducting civil immigration enforcement. They certainly should not be deported.
Not one Republican voted yes to this amendment.
Clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, there are 11 ayes and 12 noes.
Not one Republican thought it was important enough to protect U.S. citizens and not use federal funds to deport their own constituents.
What is that, Steve?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to be somewhat even-handed about this,
please.
ICE can detain a citizen. You can detain anyone. There is a difference between detaining and arresting. So I suppose if you're trying to determine somebody's immigration status, you have to be allowed to detain them. So if that's their objection, that she included the word detained, then I'll say you got some leg to stand on. But obviously, we can't be deporting U.S. citizens. That is, I mean, it makes no sense. Literally, where would you deport us to?
Completely. But I mean, even detaining people, I mean, they're supposed to be going after all these illegal immigrants right now. with the prior information. They have it. We already know we're going to go after Steve. He's here illegally. He committed a crime, whatever.
Right.
So you're saying that they can just detain the ID and make sure that you've got your papers?
Detainment is a pretty broad term. When you're pulled over for a traffic stop, you're detained at that moment. You're not allowed to leave.
Temporary.
Now, there's time limits on that. A cop has due process they have to put you through. Like, that's the problem with ICE. Like, there's no due process. They're holding people for days, weeks, even months. We have heard about people that are U.S. citizens being detained for prolonged periods. So maybe, like, you cannot detain somebody for more than 20 minutes using federal funds. Like, that would be an acceptable kind of thing. But as I'm really not trying to, like, defend anything on that panel there. But you can detain someone, yes. Obviously, you should be detaining them in the moment, in that, you know, 20-minute window, check their status or whatever. But what ICE is doing is they're actually handcuffing people and taking them to a detention center and not technically arresting them, just detaining them indefinitely. So you can't indefinitely detain someone and or deport a citizen. Like, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. But we have heard Trump threaten to deport U.S. citizens or reject people that have U.S. citizenship.
Yes.
And none of that is even remotely okay. So, yeah, to the bigger point, no money should be spent on that. No time should be spent on that. It shouldn't even be a possibility.
Yes. No, he has been talking about it. And, you know, what some people, whenever I've brought it up, they'll say, oh, it's in jest. He's just saying, like, you know, if we don't like people, we'll get them out of here. You know, if they don't love the country, if they're burning flags, we'll get them out of here.
Yeah. No, it's all wrong. And like this guy saying, or this person saying, U.S. citizens have been detained in the Broadway Detention Center in Illinois. Like, yeah, you should not be sent off to a detention center and just detained for days, weeks, months. That's not detainment.
Yeah.
That is being arrested. Detaining is you're not free to go until we figure out what's happening here.
Yeah. So, with a time limit. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. But no, I mean, we've heard Trump dying to deport U.S. citizens. He's brought it up himself in the Oval Office. So, yeah. You know, but if you think some congressional budget restriction is going to stop him, then good luck.
Yeah. He wants to make an example out of someone. I play that video only to we just got to keep in mind there's so many things happening, and Trump's always trying to get us to focus on, hey, look over here while I do this. There's always shady shit going on, so be diligent, ladies and gentlemen.
There is, and we didn't even get time to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell playing with her own puppy in prison, we found out this week. Isn't that nice?
How long? Come on, give it to me.
We all know that Maxwell got transferred to this minimum security prison, and it came out this week that she is being waited on hand and foot.
That maid?
Yes. This top flight luxury service has reached such a point of absurdity that one prison official has complained that he is sick of having to be Maxwell's bitch.
Wow.
And this prison started a program where they bring dogs in, where you could play with the dog. And originally they said that, no, she's not getting her own puppy. But now we know that she has her own freaking puppy in the place.
She's got her own
puppy. If you told me I had to lock myself in my bedroom for the day and play with a puppy, I'd be like, that sounds like a pretty good Saturday.
It's a great day, dude. And let's not forget, this is a sex offender who is trafficked children. And, you know, for some reason, we're just kind of forgetting about that she's in the same prison that Martha Stewart was in and all or these people that are basically at a country club playing with frickin' puppies, dude.
Yes. And why would she have been transferred there? So, again, Mike Johnson, there's something we obviously don't all know, because there's no reason to wish her all the best and send her to a minimum security thing where they're now pampering her and letting her play with puppies and giving her all these fringe benefits. Like, why, oh, why would that be happening? But we're about to find out, so.
All right. Well, we got so much news, we could keep it going, but we can't, ladies and gents. That's just it for the day, our midweek political week in review. Thanks for joining us today. We're doing the podcast Tuesdays and Fridays now here on the Really American Media platform. All the people in the chat, thank you for joining us today.
Indeed. Go to thevocalminority.net. You can find us on all the socials. But, yep, right here on the Really American platform. So check it all out.
Until next time.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Thank you.